Thank God Sunday's here. Resurrection Sunday. When we celebrate that Christ is no longer on this cross, after being battered and beaten and nailed to a cross, something like this, he is no longer on that cross. He is risen, resurrected from the dead for you and I. Thank God it is Resurrection Sunday. Amen. I quote from John Piper, one of the great preachers out of the States. He says this: "The greatest news in all the world is that God and His Son are most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in them. And to make that true, God raised His Son Jesus from the dead to reign forevermore. And in raising Him from the dead, He gave us forgiveness and glorified Jesus as the all-sufficient forgiver. He gave us a friend to count on and glorified Jesus as utterly reliable. He gave us guidance and unchanging truth and glorified Jesus as the absolute foundation for truth and righteousness. He gave us a life that is not pitiable but enviable, a ministry that is not in vain but fruitful, and glorified Jesus as the source and goal of all life and all ministry. And He gave us everlasting joy that will not be ended by death, and glorified Jesus as the author of life, the victor over death, and the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Then he goes on and he says this: "Therefore I urge you with all my heart this morning to lift up your heart and say with the choirs on earth and in heaven, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain and has redeemed us to God by His blood to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Amen.'" Augustus Comte, a French philosopher and skeptic, was once belittling the English writer Thomas Carlyle for his faith in Jesus Christ. And he suggested that he might start a religion of his own to replace Christianity. So Carlyle said, "That's very cool, that's very good. All you need to do is to be crucified, to rise again on the third day, and get the world to believe you are still alive. Then your religion just might have a chance." See, no religion in the world can match the claims of Christianity, because what differentiates it from all the other religions is its declaration that Christ literally rose from the grave. Now, there's always been those who have sought to kill, to debunk the very idea of the resurrection of Christ. But whatever arguments have been made, they have all failed miserably. A Harvard professor by the name of Dr. Simon Greenleaf summed it up very well when he said this: "According to the laws of legal evidence used in courts of law, there is more evidence for the historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ than for just about any other event in history." There is so much historical evidence that you need to have volumes of books to contain it all. No matter what book you might find on any bookshelf, on any bookstall, there is no book that can contain all the evidence and all the argument for the actual resurrection, the historical basis for His resurrection. You know what? And the ramifications of that one event in history, the resurrection of Jesus, gives us great assurances for life. By rising from the dead to return to the place of eternal power at the right hand of the Father, He completed this vital part of the plan of God's supreme importance to the life and the future of every human being. I just want to quickly mention 7 points very quickly on what is the importance of his resurrection. And there's a sheet over there that pads these out a little bit more. First one is this. The resurrection proves Christ was exactly who and what he said he was. He is exactly what he said he was. He said all these things were going to happen, and he rose from the dead exactly as I was prophesied. And his resurrection fulfilled all the prophecies that were ever spoken over him. Number two, the resurrection proves the primacy, meaning the preeminence, the absolute authority of his teachings. It proves the absoluteness of it all. Jesus is the only one God has raised from the dead in this way. Therefore, what he has said is true, and it is the foundation of everything we believe. Everything else must always be judged on the standard of Christ's words. Everything else that you and I believe has to be judged on those words. Thirdly, the resurrection proves that the penalty for our sins has been paid in full. It's totally done with. It's a done deal. You and I do not need to strive any longer, anymore, to try and do good things to make up for what we used to be. Because when we accept Jesus Christ into our life as Lord and Savior, the deal is done. We have accepted what he has done for us. End of the story, it is done. We no longer have to try and do this, try and get his favor in any way whatsoever. It is a done deal now. Fourth one is this. The resurrection guarantees that God can raise us from the dead to immortal life. And that is a huge subject, and I will just leave it right there. Number five, the resurrection makes Jesus the actual living, active head of the church. He is the head of the church. He is a living, day-to-day decision maker for the church. This was true in the past, and it is still true today, and it will remain true throughout the future as long as we're, as human beings, are still here on planet Earth. Number six, the resurrection guarantees Jesus' return. It guarantees his return. Every promise for the future is predicted upon his return. You know, if he had not been raised from the dead, all the promises of his rulership and his kingdom would be totally meaningless. And then number seven, the final one I just want to mention this morning. The resurrection is the guarantee of ultimate justice. If Jesus had not been raised from the dead after living a perfect, sinless life, the only conclusion we could draw is that in the end, evil will permanently win and all good is destroyed. But the crucifixion and the resurrection, they powerfully demonstrate both God's mercy and his justice. So let us never forget the incredible importance of his resurrection. He is no longer on the cross. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And this has to be the anchor of every hope we have, and ultimately the anchor of hope for all of mankind. That is the power of his resurrection. Now, Bo's going to come up now and lead us in communion. And recognizing and remembering, I've got wads of notes here, but because of time, and it's just not right to go through it, we're just going to have communion now together.